That's good for my heart. I got something later that's good for my stomach, but right now that was, thank you, Joyce. That was good for my heart. It just says, Lord, you speak. I'm a little bit hot here. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 12, verses 15 through 21. Matthew chapter 12. Open up those faith journals. You're ready to hear. As we just prayed, do you think God wants to answer that prayer when we say, Word of God, speak to me? Yes. He wants to speak into our lives. So, Matthew chapter 12, first book of the New Testament. If you're just getting to know your way around the Word, absolutely. Use the index if you have to. This is such a season of hope, isn't it? Easter. I mean, it's just all about what the season is about. It's talking about life from death, right? It's talking about victory over defeat. It's talking about good over evil. Easter is nothing but good news and hope. And for us as human beings, the human race, hope means life. Hope means something for tomorrow. There's something that I can look towards. I have hope that there is, I'm going to be okay. You're going to get me through today till tomorrow. And the opposite of that is despair, where people give up. Despair means it's done. Death. I've got nothing more to look towards. Easter's all about hope. It's all about hope. Hope to something that there is something more, a meaning, a purpose, a someone that I'm living for beyond myself. We're starting here somewhere in the middle of Jesus' ministry. Odd place to start when we're on Easter, but there's some scripture here that points forward and talks about who Jesus was. Jesus had just healed a man on the Sabbath, which was a no-no for the religious leaders of the time because that was too much like work, and you weren't supposed to do work on the Sabbath. And so they, being the good spiritual religious people that they were, decided to start figuring out how they could assassinate Jesus. So they were not quite the right place in their hearts. But Jesus was aware of this, and that's where this verse starts out in 15. It says, aware of this, Jesus withdrew from that place, and a large crowd followed him, and he healed all who were ill. But he warned them not to tell others about him, and this was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. And that's where we will stand together and read the rest of the verse together. This is where we will focus. Let's read together. Here is my servant, whom I have chosen, the one I love, in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will proclaim justice to the nations. He will not quarrel or cry out. No one will hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out, till he has brought justice through to victory. In his name the nations will put their hope. O Lord, in your name, in your name alone, we put our hope. Our hope is not in any one person. It's not in anyone's philosophy. It's not in a government. It's not in a political party. It is in you, Jesus, and you alone, because only you can change a heart. Everything else is about trying to change our actions, but unless the heart's changed, the actions never seem to stick, do they? Oh, Lord, change our hearts. Change us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. We are a people. We are a human race that needs hope. We need to know that there's something more than just what we're looking at here. And we're wired that way. We're truly wired that way. You guys recognize David? David Crabtree. He was one of the guys, the veterans over at the VFW. We met through our Christmas shows. And he recently passed away about a week and a half ago. They told him, probably about 10 months ago, he only had a couple of years to live. I mean, a couple of months to live. So he gave a fight, didn't he? He truly did. But what a meaningful time his memorial service was. They did a military honors at the National Cemetery, and those always move me so deeply. I mean, they bring me to tears. Just the folding of the flag. How many people have observed that before, where they do that ceremony? The care and the reverence and how preciously they treat the flag. It speaks to why David did what he did, and that was to go and serve his country in the military. And the reason they do this whole ceremony is because his service is treasured. It's a treasured thing by our country, what our veterans have done to serve us. But more than that, more than the veteran themselves, the veterans serve because of the preciousness of the flag and the country that it represents. That's why David served, and that's why he was being honored in that way. Those things matter, things beyond ourselves. Those are the things that give us hope. But David also, in these last months of his life, had some other things that he treasured. And he said, I need to get things right and settled before God. And he did. And that was what we witnessed back here in January, where he got baptized right here. His health didn't allow him to climb into the baptismal service, but that's all right. I poured a cup of water over his head. I'm sure it was colder, and I'll get out. But you know what? He was determined to settle things and be baptized. He had made his decision that his faith was in God. And it was a powerful thing. And there's no more powerful symbol of hope than there is in Easter, and this idea of there's something more beyond what we see here today. The Creator God sending His Son, God, to save the world and restore us to relationship with Him. That's why it said, here is my servant whom I have chosen, the one I love. He chose His own Son, the one I delight in, and I'm sending Him to you to save you, to restore you. It's a powerful thing, but as powerful as that is, it's these next verses that really speak to the practical side of you and I as we struggle and trudge and walk through and run through this world that we have. It says, a bruised reed He will not break. A bruised reed. That's such good news. That's hope for the damaged among us, isn't it? Hey, you know what? I'm damaged goods. My wife gets to put up with damaged goods. But you know what? She's damaged goods too. And so I get to put up with her. And we do that quite well together, don't we? My kids had to put up with the damaged father. But I got damaged kids. We're all a little broken, aren't we? Every one of us in here, we're all just a little bit busted, aren't we? We're all a bruised reed in one way or another. But God doesn't cast aside the bruised reed as, this is no good. It's worthless. It's damaged goods. We just throw it out. That's not the way God treats the bruised reed. The world can it? The world values our talents and our popularity and our beauty and our success and how well we've got things together And as long as you're doing all that, the world will have you and keep you. But what if the best in you is bruised and broken or gone? What would happen? How much of your world do you think would kind of drift away because you're no longer valuable? Not every time, but that's oftentimes the way the world works. The Lord, the Bible says, is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. That's the heart of God. He's not there to say, oh, that one's bruised, throw that. It's not like when, you know, you're going through the beans trying to pick out all the good beans like my mother told me. You got to pick out the smaller ones, and you know, you don't just throw away the ones that are too big or too this or too that. God says, I'll take the whole bunch, and I'm going to bring them close. I'm going to bring them close. That's the heart of God, what he does with the bruised reed. Jesus won't break you off. He's not going to replace you. He's not going to move on because you're not measuring up. None of us truly measure up, do we? He will tenderly help you. He will be your hope. And really, that's our verse talked about. The nations will put their hope in him. That's the hope of our nation, if we would just acknowledge our brokenness and God's mercy and grace towards us. See, our problem is we hope as a people too often in the wrong things. God hope is only valid if he's going to eliminate my problems. And you know what? If he doesn't get rid of the troubles, and because he hasn't eliminated starvation in the world, and he's not stopped wars, then God must not really be legit. So how can I put my hope in him? But that's a false, unrealistic hope, because in this world, we have troubles. They're not going away. It's the part of the world that we live in, isn't it? The true hope is hope in God. It's a hope in him for his help in the midst of our struggles, his strength in the midst of our trials. For God, give me the ability to honor you in the midst of this. So even though I've got lots of exit doors to try to bail out of this, Lord, give me strength to honor you and persevere in a way that says, God's my strength and he's going to give me everything I need. God, those kinds of things, to be courageous and say, God, this is hard. But God, help me to be courageous, to stick to it and do what's right, even though it's not popular. And help me, Lord God, not to just focus on, this is hard and I'm doing, help me to do what I'm doing, but help me to be looking around, because you know what? There's other people that you're passing along the way that are struggling just like you are. And they need somebody that's going to say, hey, you know what? Take my hand. Let's do this together. And not just, we need to be seeing who we can bless along the way. Our hope should not be in God, take away all my problems. It's God, help me to walk in a way that honors you in spite of my problems. That's kind of a different thing from what people are looking for today. Take away my problems. Now, problems are not going away. They're part of life. So we'll be bruised. God will lift us up. He'll bind up our wounds. He'll strengthen us. The next verse says, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. Smoldering wick. What do we often think about when we think of a wick? That's part of what? Candles, right? Well, back then it was more often a part of a lamp, an oil lamp. Olive oil often they used. And what's the wick made out of? Yeah, fiber, I think flax, that's what it was. Yeah, and they make it. It's almost like a heavy cotton type of a thing. It's made from a plant, the flax plant. And how do you make a lamp work? How many people have oil lamps in their houses? Oh, there's a couple of, but are you using it? Okay, some of you. Not too many of us use oil lamps, but here's how it works. You put the wick in, the wick goes into the oil. The oil is sopped up, or wicked, as that word. It wicks into the wick, it soaks up. And what you're burning is not the wick, it's the oil in the wick, right? So why would a wick be smoldering? Out of oil. It's out of oil. It's the oil that burns. When we're barely hanging on, when we're smoldering, when we're at the end of our rope, we're at the breaking point where we're like, I'm about done. I can't keep it up. That's when we're at our most vulnerable. That's where God can be the most powerful. What's this verse? For my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Whose weakness? Yeah, it's not God's weakness. His power is made perfect in our weakness. It's the one thing that every person needs in order to come to God. And that's to be needy. We've talked about that in our Wednesday night Gospel of John study. You have to be needy. If you come to God and you don't need him, are you going to receive? If I don't need, I'm good. He's not going to force himself on you. But when we come to God and say, I'm not good, I'm kind of broken, I'm bruised, I'm needy, God, I'm out of oil. I'm smoldering. What does this verse say? A smoldering wick he will not snuff out. He's not going to look and say, sorry, too bad for you. He says, would you like some oil? And we say, yes, Lord, I need some oil. He's happy to give, to pour out good gifts, or the Holy Spirit, as one of the Gospels says, to those who ask and seek and knock, right? So is your hope, is your joy, is your life kind of smoking but not really flaming? His grace is sufficient. His power is sufficient. All we need to do is come to him needy. Say, would you fill me, Lord? Fill me with your Holy Spirit so that I can be a bright light again. On fire for you, full of your love. Let God fill your lamp again. You're not gonna be able to burn brightly unless you do. We fill it up with everything else under the sun, but nothing else really keeps us burning. It's only him. It's only him. I read this incredible story of a little boy named Nolan, who had to deal with hope in a pretty difficult situation. Some of you may have read this. You know what? Did I bring it up? Oh, yeah, there it is. Nolan was diagnosed with rhabdomyosarcoma. Rhabdomyosarcoma. It is a rare soft tissue cancer. He was diagnosed in November of 2015. He just passed away this past February. They were fighting it with everything that they could. They took him to the hospital for one last time. It says, I'm just going to read it. It says, after he had battled for more than a year, and he had not eaten or drunk anything in days, and was continually vomiting. On February the 1st, the oncologist sat mom and dad down to hear the terrible truth. The four-year-old's cancer had spread, and large tumors were compressing his bronchial tubes, his breathing tubes, and his heart just 4 weeks after open-chested surgery. And they had to tell the parents that the cancer was no longer treatable. And the anguished mother walked into her son's room where he was watching YouTube. She called him Poot. I'm not sure where that nickname came from, but she called him Poot. And she said, "Poot, it hurts to breathe, doesn't it?" "Well, yeah. You're in a lot of pain today, aren't you, baby?" Looking down, Nolan said, "Yeah." "Poot, this cancer stuff sucks. You don't have to fight anymore." Nolan, with pure happiness, "I don't, but I will for you, Mommy." "No, Poot, is that what you've been doing?" she said, "fighting for Mommy?" And Nolan said, "Well, duh." Mom said, "Nolan Ray, what is Mommy's job?" Nolan said with a big grin, "To keep me safe." Mom said with her heart shattering, "Honey, I can't do that here anymore here. The only way I can keep you safe is in heaven." Nolan said, "So I'll just go to heaven and play until you get there? You'll come, right?" Mom said, "Absolutely, you can't get rid of Mommy that easy." Nolan said, "Thank you, Mommy. I'll go play with Hunter and Briley and Henry." Wow. Try to read that without that getting to you. Why does this story tug at our hearts so much? Why is this so hard to hear? Because it cuts through all of the other questions that we have with life. It cuts through the issues that divide us and the things that really don't matter so much. You know, we can go through decades of life avoiding what 4-year-old Nolan figured out how to deal with. What do we have our hope in? Nolan had his hope in a God who loved him. And he had a child's peace. Now, you might say, "Well, yeah, he was a kid." Yeah, sometimes kids know more than we do, don't they? I got to leave you with the end. Later on, the mom said, "Look, I'm going to go take a shower right here, okay? So I'll be right back." And he said, "Well, can Uncle Chris come and sit with me? So he could watch the bathroom door." It was still in the hospital. And the mom said, went to the bathroom door, turned and looked and said, "Just keep looking right here, Poot. I'll be out in 2 seconds, okay?" He smiled. I shut the bathroom door. They said the moment the bathroom door clicked shut, he shut his eyes and he went into a deep sleep, beginning the end of life passing. When I opened the bathroom door, his team was surrounding his bed and every head turned to me with tears in their eyes. They said, "Ruth, he's in a deep sleep. His respirations were extremely labored. His right lung had collapsed. His oxygen had dropped." The mom said, "I ran and jumped into bed with him and put my hand on the right side of his face. And then a miracle happened that I will never forget. My angel took a breath, opened his eyes, smiled at me and said, 'I love you, Mommy.' Turned his head towards me. At 11:54, Nolan Scully passed away as I was singing 'You Are My Sunshine' in his ears." I mean, that's a gift. Talk about if you could have last words to hear from your child. Where is our hope? Nolan's hope is that he's going to see Mom again. Mom's hope is she's going to see Nolan again. We can go through our lives with a lot of different missions on our minds. I was reading I think it was yesterday evening, our president of our denomination, Steve Jones, said, "You can have 3 different ways of looking at your mission on this life, on this earth. You can have no mission and just, 'I'm going about my life and my business.' You can have a false mission, chasing after things that really aren't going to last and matter. And you can have God's mission, saying, Lord, what do you want me to do? It doesn't always necessarily change what we're doing, but it changes why we do it, right? It's not so much the what you're doing. It's why am I doing it, Lord? Is it because I'm on mission for you? God's mission gives hope. God's mission tells us there's more to this life than just what we see and hear and feel around us. The end of our lives is not just a ceasing of existing. It's not just muscles stopping, lungs that stop breathing, but it's a final realization of who we are. God's creation, beloved, beloved by our Father. Your relationship with God can be restored for eternity today. If you've never had a relationship with God, I'm talking not just a head knowledge belief, but a walk with Him, talk with Him. He strengthens you, fills you. If you've never had that God walking with you each and every day, it's available to each and every one. Our sins have been paid for, the things that separate us from God. Eternity has been opened up, and a relationship with God can begin today. Isn't that awesome? All because of not what I've done, not what you've done, but what Jesus did for us. And for me, all that would require is to say, God, I want to follow you. I've gone my own way enough. It's time for me to start following after you. And God has promised that when we pray that simple prayer of faith in Him, that He would come, inhabit us, dwell in us, be our God, our Savior, our help, and our strength. Isn't that good news? That's awesome news. It's awesome news. We're going to close with a song. I'm going to ask our worship team to come up as we close with just a great song that it's a celebration of what Jesus has done for us. If this is your prayer and your hope, I'm just going to ask you, grab one of those connection cards in the seat in front of you. Just write your name on it, maybe a phone number, and check on the back. I've trusted Christ today. I want to be able to follow up with you and help you to grow. It's not something we can do alone. It's something that we're supposed to do as part of this body of Christ, the family of Christ. So if God has spoken to you and you said, you know what, it's time for me to start walking with God, you just fill one of those out. There's a box on the way out the door. Just drop it in. And I would love to connect with you. The phone call, visit, whatever, and let's just talk about what it can be like for you to take next step with God in your life. Do that, would you? And I would love to follow up with you on that.